I mean, who doesn't love a good colored chart? Got a nice little red, a little bit of blue for winter, going into spring with green.
Is it bars or is it pie?
I
prefer a pie graph more than a
It's more
a bar
of a textual chart,
chart
actually.
Ooh,
whereas
hello.
The colors kind of work as barriers between the different seasons. It all begins this coming Monday, where we'll see the lifting of capacity limits. It's the plan to reopen safely in Ontario and manage COVID for the long term. We're talking restaurants, bars, sports facilities, gyms. Those capacity limits lifted, and it all culminates end of March 2022 with just about everything you're used to doing 2 years ago, the ability to use it again, and we'll throw in for good measure the lifting of masking mandates. All on our Instagram page at News Talk 1010 for your fridging pleasure today, if you'd like to print that off.
Because of the announcement at 2 o'clock, Richard Krause kindly allowed us to bump him to 3:20 for booze and reviews. He is here now. Good afternoon to you, sir.
So the world gets to reopen and I have to wait around for half an hour?
What is wrong with you guys? Do you know who I am?
Well, that's true, because after booze and reviews, Richard gets to just booze. Right?
Almost.
Yeah. Well, I know you have a busy schedule. Are you headed out anywhere to some of our finer establishments after we have this chat?
I have a dinner party tonight that I'm going to, but after this chat, or you know, sometime in the next couple of hours after this chat, I'm going to try the Rush beer.
Oh, the Rush, the band.
Yeah, the band has a beer, and
they're big too.
Well, yeah, there's a quart bottle, which I have in the fridge. And as I bought it at the liquor store yesterday, I was paying for it. And the guy picked it up, had a look at it, and goes, "It looks like you shouldn't rush drinking this one." It's telling you not to rush drinking this one. And I was like, I get the pun. I get the pun, you hilarious man.
He's probably perfected it because everybody's
buying
it.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, let's get into this week's drink. It's a great song, but it's also a great beverage and one that Mick Jagger made famous.
Yeah, this is a crazy story. So I think probably everybody knows what a tequila sunrise is. It's tequila, orange juice, and grenadine. It hasn't always been that, though. In the 1940s, it was originally created, and it was tequila, creme de cassis, lime juice, some soda water, and it was a much different kind of drink. Cut to the 1960s, and the Kingston Trio are a huge, big deal on the charts. They had a song called Tom Dooley, and at one point, they were, as the New York Times said, the most imitated and envied and successful singing group out there. They took all that money and they opened a place called the Trident Hotel just north of San Francisco. And the Trident Hotel became like a hangout for rock and rollers. And at one point, they were selling more tequila than any other bar in the United States. So they created a whole new drink list that had all kinds of crazy tequila drinks on them. And one of the bartenders said, "All we did was just take regular drinks, whatever it might be, a zombie, we'd make it with tequila. And that we'd give it a different name." That's how the Tequila Sunrise came to be. So in 1972, the Rolling Stones were about to kick off their giant world tour. They were at that point probably the biggest band in the world. And I looked it up. They came to Maple Leaf Gardens, and the tickets were about $10 for the Maple Leaf Garden show. But it said in the newspaper article that I read from around that time, it said, "But scalpers were getting as much as $40 for a ticket." Can you imagine?
Outrageous.
Anyway, so they're about to kick off the tour, and they do the big party to get everything started at the Trident Hotel. Mick Jagger goes to the bar and orders a margarita, and the bartender says, "Hey, you know what? I had a much better drink than that. Why don't you try a Tequila Sunrise?" Jagger has one, he has two, he has three. He loves them, and it became the official drink of the tour. And the thing that's so interesting about this is because it was a big rock and roll tour, they were in every major city in North America over the next, you know, 6 months or something like that. And in every city they went to, Mick Jagger and all his cronies drank Tequila Sunrises everywhere they went. And bars started putting it on their menu. Mick Jagger was here, drank Tequila Sunrises. And that put the Tequila Sunrise on the map. In fact, the 1972 tour, Keith Richard in his book, which is a great book if you can find a copy of it, called Life, he said the 1972 tour was known by other names such as the Cocaine and Tequila Sunrise Tour.
Very That's dedication, cool. man. Sticking with the same story. Drink for an entire 6 months. Like, you got to think eventually, you know, because they're playing, because the Stones back in the day were doing 4 to 5 nights a week. You got to think after a while, like, It's just the grenadine and the orange juice is going to wear you down. Although I guess that's some vitamins in there, so maybe
yeah, it'll kill the scurvy that most rock stars encounter. Or those Vikings. We've got three movies on tap for Booze and Reviews. Right. I think Dune is probably the big headliner.
Oh yeah, Dune is the most anticipated of the three of them. Denis Villeneuve, the great French-Canadian filmmaker, has finally wrestled this into a form that people can understand. David Lynch tried to make a movie of it in 1984, and it just didn't really work, mostly because he tried to take this behemoth of a book, which was actually written as a serial and then all put together into one novel by Frank Herbert in 1965. So Lynch tried to tell the whole story. Denis Villeneuve has cleaved it. So it's we're getting the first part of the movie here. And the story is relatively simple, or the through line is relatively simple. There's an aristocratic family that is given stewardship over a planet called Dune. On Dune, there's very little except for this thing called spice, which is the most valuable commodity in the universe. It can facilitate supersonic travel. It makes you stronger and healthier as a person. It is very valuable. The outgoing stewards aren't happy, and there's a huge betrayal, and that's kind of where we get to in this story. There's other stuff in there as well. It's about colonialism. It's about all sorts of kind of hot button topics today. The trouble with this movie is that even though it's epic and it's beautiful and see it on the biggest screen that you can, because it is so immersive, you really have never really seen anything quite like this, is that it just ends kind of halfway through. And you're sitting there for 2.5 hours and there's no resolution to any of the stories. And there is no part two just yet. If this movie makes a lot of money, there may be a part two, but I just found a little, I found myself a little disappointed that I was watching something that just seemed to be dangling. It left me dangling.
That's the problem with doing something so epic. And when you talked about, you know, the 80s movie Dune, you know, of course, with Sting and how famously
that codpiece that he wore.
Yeah. How famously ill received it was. Yes. It reminded me of a movie that I watched that, despite the fact I loved the book series and I knew they tried to jam far too much into it, I didn't find it all that bad, but I did find it lacking because they did try and get the whole story in. And that was the Dark Tower, with Matthew McConaughey and Idris Elba as the gunslinger. And anybody that loved that series knows that that's like 5 books of 800 or 900 pages a piece. It wasn't a bad movie, but I worry that that's what they would have done with Dune. So I haven't seen it yet, as you have, Richard, but you got to think there's going to be another one. But that's the world we live in now, right? Where you don't necessarily always get greenlit until you see how the box office goes, especially in foreign markets.
I hope there's another one. You know, it's tough to make a lot of money with movies these days, though, because, you know, people are not going to the movies. Well, you haven't been able to go to the movies and fill a theater. It's only been halfway full up until very recently. Some people are still a little bit reluctant. So you're not seeing those, you know, billion-dollar grosses anymore. So I don't know. My fingers are crossed, because Denis Villeneuve has done a great job of getting this on the screen. I just want more.
We only have about 60 seconds here for The Harder They Fall, but that's something people can watch at home, right?
Well, not yet. It's okay. In theaters right now. It'll be on Netflix very soon. This is Idris Elba, Jonathan Majors, Regina King. It is a Western that has all the stuff that you expect from a Western. There's a revenge story and some bank robberies and shootouts and all that kind of thing. But it's told from the perspective of Black cowboys and gunslingers. And they're all based on real life people. In real life, they probably never met, but I'm glad they did in the movie, because it's a whole lot of fun, charismatic performances, an absolutely scorching soundtrack. And this is a movie that, even though it's going to be on Netflix in a few weeks, check it out in the theater if you can, because, man, that first half an hour is so much fun.
Richard, have a wonderful dinner party tonight. As always, we appreciate your time. Sorry for the scheduling change, and have a great weekend.
I'll talk to you guys next week.
Okay, buddy. Take care.
You can rush to the fridge and drink your beer now.
He's a dad. Sign Richard, have some pity. He's dad now.
I'm allowed.
Dad jokes.
I'm allowed to do it.
You're card carrying.